Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed.
Welcome to Sports Day Monday night. Mark Reddings and Adam Papalia taking you through the show this evening. We're here thanks to Acmea Farm Insurance with a sports update. Adam, good evening to you.
Hey, good evening to you, Skeet. And yeah, great to be in the chair. Of course, we thought we'd probably still be updating some of the Ashes action that would be going on, but it all wrapped up in a hurry yesterday. And the Aussies end up with a 4-0 victory in the Ashes series. England completely just rolling over towards the end. Some of the wickets they gave away late were terrible. They wanted to get out of there and get back on a plane, I think.
They lost 10 for 56 in 136 minutes. 20 of those minutes came during the tee interval. That was quite extraordinary. So footy news is still bubbling around in terms of rules for 2022.
Yes, certainly. Just a couple of tweaks that have been announced today by the AFL to basically change and get the ball moving a little bit quicker. So basically players that try to delay the game a little bit more by trying to lock the ball in or knock it away from the umpire, at ball ups to try and delay things, they're going to be penalised a little bit quicker with free kicks and 50-metre penalties. And the holding the ball one as well, I think this is going to be interesting as to how it's actually adjudicated through the season. Basically, it's a tightening up. So, you know, where players used to get a bit of time in a tackle if they're spun around 360 to then try and get a handball away, they're not going to have as much time to do that now.
That is a hot topic for Barbecues Galore in footy. Shop online and in-store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge. Now you're cooking. More of Sports Day up next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed.
Great to have your company. Sports Day Monday night. Time for our tennis update. Thanks to the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. And tennis, the Australian Open has started, but we're still just lingering on the Novak Djokovic case. We saw a vision of him arriving in Dubai. He's heading back home with his tail between his legs. But it's left a bit of a sour taste for everyone. No real winners here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was quite funny to see him actually posing for some selfies and things when he actually landed at the airport there in Dubai. We had to wait quite a while yesterday to find out what the verdict was actually going to be on Novak Djokovic. It's been really a disaster PR-wise for all parties, I reckon, right through this whole thing, from the government to Tennis Australia to Novak Djokovic himself. But in the end, his visa cancelled and he was deported straight away, and he's not going to be at the Australian Open. A part of me would have loved to have seen him play here.
Just the theatre.
Just the theatre around everything that had happened for him then to come out on court and try to compete, and just would have seen what the reaction from the crowd would be. I was speaking about it a bit on over the weekend, just the power that I guess the immigration minister has to just basically send someone packing from the country if they don't believe in the views that they're holding, which is eventually what it boiled down to. The visa stuff was all sort of ticked off, but coming down to the anti-vax situation and whether that was going to have an impact on the rest of the country was why effectively he's now been deported. I mean, it's just been such a minefield, and trying to get through some of the legal jargon yesterday in the case was quite difficult. But in the end, that's the decision that's been made. I don't expect him to be banned for 3 years. I imagine he'll be back next year if he gets vaccinated.
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? The 3-year deportation ban, which could apply, you'd hope that isn't the case. You hope that he's vaccinated and comes back in with no problems. The other issue that Novak faces moving forward, of course, is how he's going to compete at the French Open. There seems to be a possibility he'll be able to get through unvaccinated to that one. But Wimbledon, the US Open, both seem very problematical. So this problem isn't going away.
No, it's going to start hurting him in the hip pocket, obviously, a fair bit. It's hurt him here, not being able to compete for prize money. And, you know, he basically rocks up to the Australian Open and wins it. So there's a couple of million dollars that haven't jumped into the bank balance this time. And it'll be the same as he continues to go around the world. If he can't play tennis, he can't earn the same sort of living that he's been accustomed to. So whether that then forces a change in his thinking going forward, we'll have to wait and see. But it'll be a hotly watched thing, whether Novak Djokovic will be able to get back and compete around the world.
Well, on court, there was some action. Finally, after all the court action in terms of lawyers, we got some on day one, which was terrific. Some big news from an Australian point of view. Aussie wildcard Alexander Vukic upset 30th seed Lloyd Harris. James Duckworth is out, but a couple of other big names perhaps have found their way into the second round without too many difficulties.
Yeah, they have. Rafael Nadal, I think he's going to be the one that everyone's going to be watching, and I think he will be, with no Roger Federer there, he's going to be, on the men's side of things, the sentimental favourite, I think, with the crowd, to see if he can get another Grand Slam and just pull ahead of those other two. But a pretty easy win for him through today. Naomi Osaka, of course, who's had so much going on in the past 12 months too, she won through Bencic as well.
There we have it, our Australian Open tennis update for the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. More of Sports Day shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time to talk AFLW for Kia, the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. Trent Cooper is the coach of the Fremantle Dockers. He joins us now. Trent, thanks for your time.
No worries, Mark and Adam. Thanks for having me.
You must be very happy with what you've produced on the road first up against the Giants. Bit of a sluggish start, but you came home well and won quite comfortably in the end.
Yeah, it was actually, we're pretty happy with the start because it was two goals each, and but that breeze was very strong to the right of screen. It maybe didn't come up on the TV, but it was pretty hard to score there all day. I think they were the only two goals for the game scored to that end, and the other end was definitely the scoring end. So we were pretty happy with our first three quarters. If anything, our last quarter, we probably should have put them to the sword, but we didn't. But still very pleased overall with the performance.
Yeah, good start. You know, a couple of wins straight to the top of the table. 32-point victory over the Giants. Did it feel a bit strange? I think I've asked that in a lot of interviews over the last 2 years. But did it feel a bit strange playing at Witten Oval against the Giants? So obviously a neutral venue being played in the Victoria between the Dockers and GWS.
Yeah, well, I coached at Witten Oval. We had zero crowd, so I've played there twice, but not much crowd so far. But it was good, actually. We could hear the non-playing players were very loud, and the Victorian Dockers cheer squad's fantastic. I don't know if you saw the banner pre-game, but they put a lot of work into that, and they were nice and loud as well. So it was good, and we've got a pretty good record at the ground, so happy to be there whenever.
The perfect 10 coaches' votes for Hayley Miller. She's taken to the captaincy very well.
Yeah, she has. She was always ready to have a big year. She put in a big pre-season before the captaincy came away, so it's not like she's gone to another level because of the captaincy, but yeah, we've been wrapped with what she's done in the last in both games so far, and spending a bit of time forward as well, and she's looking a real threat up there as well.
Who do you want to talk about first, Dana East or Anne McMahon? Both had wonderful moments in the game, and you must be delighted for both young ladies.
Yeah, start with Dana because she probably is the one that started us off. Quarter time. Well, we looked down at the stat sheet, and I don't think Miller had touched it, and Bowers had one at one stage, and it was Dana, and we'd scored two goals in the breeze, and Dana East had seven touches and four tackles. She was instrumental early on for us, and then Bowers and Miller, they finished the game strongly, but yeah, she was really, really good, and she's just going to continue to work on her craft and develop. And Anne McMahon, we just see, you know, how clean she is. The pick up and hand pass to Miller for a goal was exceptional. And then, she got her due rewards when she did kick that goal from a long way out. So when she was lining up, we thought she had a chance because she had the breeze at her back and she can really hoof it. The girl's obviously very excited when she put it through.
What a fantastic moment to see after everything that she's been through over the last couple of years. Is it correct that she was maybe in doubt for the game because she'd only just finished a night shift before she flew across?
Yeah, well, when I say in doubt, I sort of floated it that how is she feeling? Because coming off night shifts, she hasn't trained as well in the past, and it's not easy. So we spoke about the possibility of resting this game for her and then coming back because we've got a strong, fit and healthy squad who can all sort of play a role when needed. But Anne was confident. She said that she finished at 7 a.m. Saturday morning and we were at the airport at 9 a.m. So she basically went straight to the airport. It would depend, she was going to be honest, depend on how she slept on the plane. And we got her in a business class, so I was up near the toilets, but Dan was in business class, so that was all good, and she got a bit of sleep. She got through the night fine, and she reported the next morning that she was right to go, so we had full confidence to back her in at that stage. But yeah, pretty phenomenal effort to do what she did and then come out and play as well as what she did.
Trent Cooper joining us there from the AFLW Fremantle Dockers side. Stay with us. Plenty more to come on Sports Day. We'll chat with Jed Morgan, a rising golf star.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed.
Thanks for your company on Sports Day this Monday night, and we're talking golf with a young man that is still on top of the world after taking out the Australian PGA Championship at the weekend, a record-breaking final round. His name's Jed Morgan. He joins us now. Jed, congratulations. It must be 4 days you'll never forget.
Yeah, it's going to be, I can't believe it's happened, really. I'm still a bit confused of what's going on, and it's just an honour to be the champion, I guess.
Looking through some of the numbers, 11-stroke winning margin, the greatest in Australian PGA Championship history, 22 under par, the equal lowest score in relation to par in championship history. And how's this one? 22 years, 1 month, 18 days, the youngest winner in the history of Australian PGA Stroke Play Championship. There's a few nice records to take to the bank.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even know all those records were there to be broken, to be honest. I got reminded of it in an interview actually before the final round, and did pretty well not to think about any of it, because obviously that just comes along with winning, and to be able to break a couple of those records was pretty special, that's for sure.
Well, congratulations to you, Jed. Now, how were the celebrations and the partying on last night?
Yeah, it was good. The last time I won something, I didn't really get to celebrate that much. I still had to get on a plane pretty much that night, and yeah, last night we had a good night, so it was the first time I was paid for a bar tab. It was hurtful, but it was also nice.
Well, I think with $180,000 jumping into the kick for winning the tournament, you can well and truly pick up a couple of those beers. What does that mean to you? You know, at such a young age, to win that amount of prize money in a tournament?
I mean, it's sick, obviously. I've never had, more than $5,000 in my name, probably, just from working and all that, but I think what I like to tell myself is I just want to be paid to do good work, and that's, I think anyone in any career strives to do that. And honestly, the way I look at that, it just takes all the pressure off the money. It doesn't really come into my mind then, because if I'm doing the good work, then I'm physically acting the right way and doing the right thing. So the money's obviously a bonus, but I chase trophies. So it's sick to have that amount of money, but coming back into the old bank account.
Yeah, absolutely. I think most would dream about it. But in terms of your golf as well, I mean, that's certainly got to help cover some of the costs of now being able to jet around the world and play in tournaments that you haven't previously played.
Yeah, it's it's expensive to play golf. Everyone thinks it's kind of the best thing ever, but there's a lot of cost that comes with it in terms of paying service providers, coaches, psychologists, all that type of stuff, and then your caddy, and paying for the trips as well. So it's something that I'm new to, because I've had a lot of help from my parents and some my sponsors also, and Golf Australia. So it's all about to get pretty real.
Speaking of real, did you feel like it was reality or fantasy? You get to the end of three rounds, the Joe Kirkwood Cup, most are saying, well, it's just about done and dusted here, Royal Queensland, of course, you know it so well, and you lead by nine. Yeah. How do you approach that final day?
Oh, I was in all sorts for a couple of days. I wasn't very good. I was pretty sick for 2 days straight, wanted to vomit pretty much every hour, so it's not easy. I mean, it might have looked somewhat easy, but professional sports pretty tough. You got, like, they're all good, so you just, the biggest thing I didn't want to do, I didn't want to choke, obviously. I didn't want to be the guy who lost it, so yeah.
We'll hear more from Australian PGA Championship winner Jed Morgan right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed.
Yes, we're here for Farmers Business Network. Thanks to Farmers Business Network, head to fbn.com. We're chatting with young golfing superstar Jed Morgan, who's just won the Australian PGA Championship. Adam.
Was there a moment through the first couple of rounds where you thought, hang on, I'm going really well here?
Well, I was playing the second round just kind of freewheeling pretty well. I was just having fun, trying to make a bit of noise out there, and ended up finishing the day six shots clear, and I don't know, I just took that momentum. I took that, something clicked, I think, in my mind, and I just expected to do the same thing, I think, for the next 2 days. So I've never really done something like that. I'm so impressed with yeah, myself and my caddy as well. He's one of the boys out there. He got me through it. And, yeah, all the help I've had over the years, it's been built up to this one big moment right now, I guess.
Yeah, an incredible performance. As you said, it's built up to a big moment. When did you first pick up a set of golf clubs as a young kid? Because I believe your grandparents owned a golf course.
Yeah, so mum and dad owned a small country course called Hatton Vale. And yeah, I was probably like 4 or 5 and played every sport growing up. I was a pretty active kid, and I love contact sports. But yeah, 14, I just wanted to play golf, I think, and dad made us choose one sport. And yeah, I guess the rest is history for now.
And history, at the age of 22, you talk about that Englishman David Howell won as a 23-year-old. I'm sure you've been told this over the last 24 hours. In 1991, yeah, he achieved that. Cameron Smith won as a 24-year-old. Seve Ballesteros, yeah, as well. So what does it mean for you, resetting goals for your career? Have you had time to at least sit down and think, okay, how do I not let this become the highlight of my career? How can I make this the start, yeah, of something big?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what's still to come of this. It's only been a day since I've taken the title out, so I'm yet to find out what's actually in store. There's a couple of cool things that are happening that weren't happening previously, and obviously some opportunities in Europe have arose, which is nice. I've always wanted to go either through Europe or the US, whichever one, didn't matter, but yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah, exactly what you said. I don't want to make this the highlight. This is just hopefully the beginning of what me and my team can do.
Well, I believe that you've got a couple of good mentors that you can rely on or lean on as you embark on bigger and better things. Some part of the Sport Australia Hall of Fame scholarship, is it right? You've been chatting with Ricky Ponting and someone that a lot of people over here, WA baseball legend Graham Lloyd, as well.
Yeah, Lloyd, he's just come about in the last few months, and yeah, I've been with Ricky now for obviously the whole year. And yeah, it's been cool to bounce ideas off those pair. They've been so good to me. Yeah, it's just cool to see, like, just get insight into how they approach their sport and their life, I think, and how they, I guess, reacted to mistakes, adversity, and also success. So it's just, I'm extremely lucky to get that. I didn't think I was going to get that scholarship, and then, I got it.
Yes, terrific mentors or people to get some sporting advice from. Jed Morgan, our latest golfing hero, which sounds funny for you, Jed, because I'm guessing you've done more media in the last 24 hours than for the rest of your career. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah, I've never been on the phone so much in my life. But, I welcome it. It's what comes when you do well. I welcome it. I love talking to new people and, yeah, trying new things.
Well, Jed, you've done yourself and your sport proud with the way you've conducted yourself, Australian PGA, at that tender age of 22. Congratulations on that performance. Let's hope there's lots more to come.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on the show tonight.
There it is, Jed Morgan, our Australian PGA Championship winner here on Sports Day. Fantastic victory. A record-breaking win, and he goes into the new year with a massive victory in his short career.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed.
Yes, another big show of Sports Day Monday night. Time to turn our attention to our weather outlook in regional areas for Nufarm, Australian through and through.
I'll tell you what, Ski, it's going to be pretty hot pretty much everywhere over the next couple of days. But looking about the place tomorrow, going to be 37 out Colleyway, 37 in Bridgetown, 33 in Kalgoorlie, and 35 degrees down in Busselton, my hometown. It's been beautiful down there. Nice holiday over the last couple of weeks. Wouldn't be anywhere else.
No, you throw that Busselton line in there, just picking and choosing which country towns to give some love to. But that weather update for Nufarm. Nufarm's products are formulated with the highest quality right here in Australia. Nufarm, Australian through and through. Thanks for your company. Hope you can join us tomorrow night, Sports Day.